Hey guys, this is Dustin Heron, one of the men's pastors at Gateway Church, and we want to thank you for joining our Men's Summit podcast today. We are so excited to be in a series titled Spiritual Fitness with Gateway's lead men's pastor, Todd McIntyre. Let's listen in as he gives us strategies on how to fight to get into the presence of God rather than just fighting your sin.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Men's Summit podcast. My name is Todd McIntyre, and I'm excited to conclude with you our series on spiritual fitness. You know, the first week we talked about the difference between spiritual fitness and physical fitness. We said physical fitness has some value, the Bible says. But spiritual fitness is value for everything. Everything in your life will improve when you get spiritually fit. We also said that if you're going to get spiritually fit, it comes a lot like physical fitness. It comes through growth. And growth happens when we're willing to embrace the pain, when we're willing to develop routines and to practice, and when we get people around us that push us to help us grow and get in small groups and get with other people. Physically, it works that way, and spiritually, it works that way. And then last week, we talked about routines, and we talked about the importance of routines, and we said the importance of routines is routines really develop perseverance in your life. And the Bible talks about perseverance and the power of perseverance. James 1, 2 through 4 says that perseverance must finish its work so you can become mature and complete, not lacking anything. Guys, when we are struggling in our lives, when we're lacking things, one of the reasons why we're lacking is because we haven't learned how to persevere. And persevere happens when you have routines and you don't quit. It's a big deal. We talked about James 4, 8, where it says, if you'll come close to God, God will come close to you. What does that mean? It means God's waiting for you to take the step to come close to him. He's not just going to come close to you and train you and everything. He wants you to want it. He wants you to use your will, your desire to say, God, I want you. I desire you. And when you do that, the Bible says he comes close to you. And then we said in 2 Corinthians 3:17, we talked about where do we put our eyes? Do we put our eyes on fighting sin, or do we put our eyes on getting in the presence of God? Because 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Guys, if you want freedom in your life, if you want freedom from your sins, it doesn't come from fighting your sin. It comes from fighting to be in the presence of God. And so we want to be men who understand that when we seek God first, he takes care of every issue in our lives. But I also know you've got an enemy. And the enemy, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, trying to devour you, trying to steal, kill, and destroy everything in your life. And the last thing he wants you to do is get spiritually fit. Because he knows if you get spiritually fit, you're going to get closer to God. And he knows if you get closer to God, you're going to stop sinning. And he knows if you stop sinning, that you're actually going to be a benefit to your family. You're going to be a benefit to your wife, your kids. You're going to be a benefit at work. You're actually going to be a man that God is proud of. And he hates that. And so he'll start asking you questions just like he asked Eve in the garden. He'll start asking you some really cruddy questions like, why are you doing the spiritual fitness? Is it really that big of a deal? I mean, that's not really your personality, is it? You don't really care about that kind of stuff. You're good with where you are. Or why do you really need to spend alone time with God? I mean, God's good. He doesn't need you. He's fine. Or why is fasting such a big deal? I mean, you're hungry. You shouldn't have to fast. I mean, you got to work out later today. I mean, you're going to be tired. You might get dizzy. Like, come on, fasting. You should go eat. Or what happens if we don't keep our disciplines? Is God mad at us? I mean, God's not going to be mad at you if you don't keep your disciplines. I mean, seriously, God is love. And if God is love, he's not going to be mad at you. And so, you know, you don't really need to do this. Just keep doing what you've done. You've been good enough. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. The enemy is always at work trying to stop you from getting close to God. And you got to decide right now, am I willing to go through this? Am I willing to count the cost, as Jesus said, to become the disciple he wants me to be? But I want to make this really clear to you. You got to hear this. God does not need you to spend time with him. He is never mad at you because you don't. He is not hurt. Like when you neglect him, he doesn't get hurt. He's not insecure about his relationship with you. God doesn't need you to spend time with him, but you do need to spend time with God because you're the one that's going to struggle, not God. Spending time with God is not for him, it's for you. If you truly understood the God you served, you truly understood the sinner that you are, then you would never question the importance of needing to get close to him. You know, John Maxwell has a quote. I think it's really funny. He says, we're all one decision away from stupid. We're one decision away from stupid. And you know, the Bible talks about stupid men. In fact, Psalms 119:70 says, "The hearts are dull and stupid, but I delight in your instruction." In other words, this psalmist was saying, because I delight in your instruction, I am not dull and stupid. But those who do not delight in your instruction get dull and stupid. How many of us are dull and stupid in our relationship with our wives? How many of us are dull and stupid with the things of God? Proverbs 12:1, listen to this one. "To learn, you must love discipline. It is stupid to hate correction." Guys, if we want to learn, if we want to grow, we've got to love discipline. We got to create routines. We got to start spending time with God. We got to start getting up in the morning. We got to start reading our Bibles. We got to start fasting. We got to start creating these routines that we're going to do to get ourselves closer to God. We got to start working out spiritually. And then Jeremiah 4:22 says this, "My people are foolish and do not know me, says the Lord. They are stupid children who have no understanding. They are clever enough at doing wrong, but they have no idea how to do right." Guys, many of us are clever at doing wrong. We were born knowing how to do wrong. You don't have to teach a child to lie. You don't have to teach a child to steal. You don't have to teach a child to do what's wrong. You have to train them to do what's right. And God is telling all of us, don't be stupid. Spend time with me. I will help you. I will help you in every area of your life if you will just connect with me. And today, guys, I want to talk about why spiritual fitness is so important. What's the benefits? What's the long-term benefits? How will this affect you the rest of your life? Because the Bible's clear. It talks about it. What will happen if you get spiritually fit? And what is going to be the benefit of that for you, for your wife, for your kids, for everyone around you, for those that you're close to? And so I want to just give you three simple points today. We're going to go through these pretty quick. And the first one is, why do we get spiritually fit? The first one is that it helps us keep our eyes on Jesus. Why is that a big deal? Because if you keep your eyes on Jesus, you'll stop doing the things you don't want to do. Hebrews 12:1-2, listen to this. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance or perseverance the race God has set before us." And it says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. How do we strip off every weight that easily entangles us? We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. I'm going to say it over and over. We are not trying to fight against sin. We are fighting to get in the presence of God, because when we're in the presence of God, we will stop sinning. Colossians 3 says pretty much the same thing. It says, "Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits at the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about things in heaven, not the things of earth." Listen, guys, sin is the things of earth. The things that you're worried about are the things of earth. But when you get your eyes on Jesus, it helps you in every area of your life. The second thing that you'll benefit, that will benefit you if you get spiritually fit. The first one is it helps you keep your eyes on Jesus. The second one is when you get spiritually fit, it will literally guard your heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." Jesus made a comment. He said, sin does not come from what we eat, but it comes from what comes out of our mouth. It comes from our heart. That sin is in our hearts. And if we want to get out of sin, we've got to get close to God. And when we get close to God, it guards our heart. It keeps our heart moldable. It keeps our heart soft. I was thinking about this with my wife the other day, just about a candle and how when you light a candle, the wax around that fire starts to melt. It starts to become pliable. When it first starts to get hot, it just is pliable, but then it literally turns into liquid. But when you turn the fire off, it hardens really hard. Think about that. If I can heat the wax up in your heart, I can make you moldable. I can make you shape. I can shape your heart. But when you're not close to the fire, and God is the all-consuming fire, when you're not close to Him, it will literally harden your heart. Guys, the way we keep our hearts soft and moldable is by staying close to Him. And I want to encourage you, Get spiritually fit. Keep your heart soft. Keep your heart soft towards God. So what's the importance of spiritual fitness long term? One, it helps you keep your eyes on Jesus so you can get out of your sin. Two, it keeps your heart moldable so God can start molding you, and it guards your heart from the things that will determine the course of your life. And three, the last thing, probably not the last thing, but the third thing I came up with today is when you are spiritually fit, it will keep you humble. What's the big deal about humble? I just want to read to you humility. Humility is your ability to recognize that you can't live this life on your own. You not only need help, but a humble man knows he needs God. Humility is the way we got saved. A prideful person can't get saved. Say, what are you talking about? Anyone can get saved. Yes, anyone can get saved if they're humble. Because the Bible says in James 4:6 and 1 Peter 5:5 that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Only the humble get saved. And what does it mean to be humble? It's a recognition of you understanding that you don't have what it takes. It's a recognition of you understanding that your life really isn't yours. That you've tried to do this on your own, you've worked hard, you've done all the things you think you should do, but you keep coming up short. And it's a recognition that God sent his son to die on the cross for all of my sins. And it's a recognition knowing that he's the Savior, I'm the sinner. And if I can keep my eyes on the Savior, that he can help me in every area of my life. But when I put my eyes on me or the things around me, then me and the things around me become great and I become prideful. And a prideful person is a guy who says, I got this. I don't really need to spend time with God. I'm good enough. But a humble man constantly recognizes the importance of humility. Now, I just want to say this. It says God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And most of us, a lot of us, have been taught some kind of weird teachings about grace. And I'm not going to try to teach you anything from my knowledge. I just want to read to you some things in the Bible about grace so you can kind of understand what grace really does. You know, a lot of us think grace is just about forgiveness of sin. So God's grace saved us. So he forgave us of all of our sin. And so now we can go about living our lives. And if we do have sin, it's okay because God's grace will forgive us. But really, it's God's mercy that forgives you. It's God's grace that teaches you. In fact, I want to read to you Titus 2:11-14. It's really the only definition I know in the Bible that defines grace. I mean, you can hear a lot of preachers try to define grace. They can tell you the Greek word for grace, but the Bible actually gives us the definition of grace. It's in Titus 2:11. If you've never read this, I'd encourage you to go back and read this. Go to Titus 2, look it up for yourself. I'm going to read to you the NIV version, but this is what it says. It says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. And this is what it does. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, to live a self-controlled and upright and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Here's what grace does do. It teaches you to say no to your sin. It teaches you to say no to your flesh. It teaches you to live an upright life. It teaches you to have self-control. I need God's grace every day. And the Bible says that if I'm not humble, God will oppose me. But if I'm humble, he gives me grace. And grace is what I need. You know, a lot of people, when they've read the story about Paul in Corinthians, when he talks about that he had a thorn in his flesh and three times he prayed and God didn't take away the thorn. It says that God said to him, my grace is sufficient for you. In your weakness, I'll make you strong. You know, a lot of us have that definition of grace, that grace is about forgiveness of sin. So Paul didn't have to quit sinning. I don't have to quit sinning. So what's the big deal? But what if we twisted your thinking a little bit? What if we thought the way we just read the definition of grace? And what if God was saying something a little bit different than we've kind of thought? And what if God is saying to Paul, I've heard your prayer. I see that you're struggling with an area in your life that you don't like. I see that you have this thorn in your side that you've been trying for years and years and years to get out of, and you've prayed, and yes, you still are dealing with it. But I want to tell you something, Paul. My grace is sufficient to help you walk through this. My grace will teach you to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. My grace will help you have self-control and be upright and have a godly life. My grace will help you, Paul, because where you are weak right now, in the future, you're going to be strong, because I'll take your weakness and make it your strength. That for me, I used to be a man of lust, and now I'm a man who doesn't lust. That I was known for someone who was looking at things that I shouldn't be looking at, and now I'm known for someone who keeps his eyes on Jesus. That weakness that I used to have is now my strength. Why? Because of God's grace. Not because I'm good enough. I'm not good enough. In my own power, in my own strength, in my own prideful ways, I will fail every time. And the Bible says God will oppose me and won't help me. But if I'll stay humble and say, God, I can't do this without you. I got to get up this morning. I got to spend time with you. I got to get in your word. I got to fast. I got to pray. I gotta go after you with all of my heart, mind, soul, and strength, because I need you, God. And when I have that posture towards God, God says, yeah, I got my grace here for you. And I'm going to help you. I'm going to teach you how to walk through this. Now, guys, I've told you over and over in this series, our fight is not to get out of sin. The devil loves it when you're focused on your sin. Our fight is to get in the presence of God. And when you're in the presence of God, you will find freedom from your sin. But if you are just focused on getting out of sin, you will neither get in the presence of God or out of sin. Matthew 6:33 says, don't worry about all these things that the world worries about, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he'll take care of all those things. Some of you are worried about so many things, and your worry of work says to you, you don't have time to spend with God. Your worry about your family says you don't have time. You got other things to do. There's more important things to do. But I'm gonna tell you something, there's nothing more important that a man can do than to spend time with God. There's nothing more important. No preacher, no counselor, no work advisor can give you wisdom and knowledge that God can give you. Nobody can save you except God. And if you don't recognize that, then yes, spiritual fitness isn't for you. But if you recognize that, there's hope. Because whatever problem you're in today, whatever struggle you're struggling with today, God wants to make you free. He wants to see you become a man who lives in freedom. He wants to see you be a man who used to be weak in certain areas and now is strong. You know, I love that story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If you've never read it, it's in Daniel 3. It's a story about three men who stand firm to not bow down to an idol. King Nebuchadnezzar has built this idol of himself, and he wants everyone in his world to bow down to this idol. And he tells everyone on this certain day that when you hear the music sound, bow down to this idol, because you're really bowing down to me. And so they sound out the music and everyone bows except for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They stand firm. And the people around Nebuchadnezzar see that they're not bowing down. And they tell Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar gets furious and says, I'm going to give you one more chance. Bow down when the music starts. If you don't, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to throw you into a fiery furnace. So the music goes off again, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they don't bow. They stand in front of the king in defiance to this idol. And Nebuchadnezzar is angry. King Nebuchadnezzar says, the Bible says he makes the furnace hotter than it's ever been. He turns it up and he brings these three men to him. And he has this conversation with them about why they wouldn't bow down to the idol. And this is what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say in 16 through 18 in chapter 3 of Daniel. They say this, they say, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. He will deliver us from your majestic hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Man, that's gangster. That is so strong. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stand in front of the king knowing they're gonna risk their lives, knowing they're about to die, knowing that they have a God that can save them, but even if he doesn't, they're still not going to do it. They stand strong with God, and they choose God over the things of this world. And Nebuchadnezzar says, fine, send them to the fiery furnace. And it says the people who walked them up to the fiery furnace, some of those people died because the fire was so hot that it killed them just by getting close to it. But they threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into that fire. And when they throw them in the fire, the Bible says they see a fourth person in there with them, and they're not burning up. They're not dying. And Nebuchadnezzar's watching this happen, and it's freaking him out. And so he finally approaches the area where the burning furnace is, and he shouts. And in 26 through 27, it says, he shouts, and it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out. Come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego come out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. And they saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched. There was no smell of fire on them. But let me tell you what also wasn't on them. The chains that bound them. When they got thrown into the fire, the only thing that burned up were the things that were holding them from being free men. When they got close to the fire of God, God didn't kill them. He didn't punish them. God loves them. God loves you. He doesn't want to kill you. He doesn't want to punish you. He's not waiting to slap you down. As you get close to him, he's going to tell you all the bad things you've done and make you feel stupid. No, this is what he's going to do. He's going to burn off every chain that's holding you back. He's going to free you and help you become free men. Guys, the Bible calls these types of men, men who fear God. Men who are humble, men who keep their eyes on Jesus, men who guard their hearts. These are men who fear God. And if you just do a study on the fear of God and see how God blesses the man who fears him. When we get spiritually fit, when we create routines like getting up, spending time with God, fasting, praying with our wives, praying with our children, getting alone with God, taking a day or two and just you and God go out in the desert or in the woods and just go spend time with God. When we do those kind of things, recognizing that none of us have what it takes to survive this life without God, when you are humble, the Bible says God gives you his grace and you become a man who's no longer bound by the chains of sin. You're a man that's free. And it might not happen today, because God might want you to persevere and to keep pressing in and keep pressing in. But there will be a day you'll wake up, I promise you. There'll be a day if you will do this, if you will stay focused on God, I promise you, there'll be a day you'll look back and go, I don't know how I got here except by the grace of God. Because I didn't have it for years. I tried it on my own and I failed. But by God's grace, he taught me to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, to live a self-controlled and upright life in this present age. And I'm a free man. That's God's desire for you. He is not mad at you. You say, well, I haven't spent a lot of time with God. I haven't done those things. What's it going to be like when I spend time with God? It's going to be like the prodigal son. God's going to run towards you and wrap his arms around you and say, let's have a party because my son has returned home. He's going to put his ring on your finger. He's going to put a robe on you. He's going to take your filthy rags. He's going to make you free. That's God's desire for you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for every single man that's listening to the sound of my voice today. And Lord, I pray that they will become men who are free because they're humble enough to recognize they can't do it on their own. They're humble enough to recognize that even this podcast can't change them. The only thing that can change them is you. Lord, that they have a desire even right now to maybe stop their car, pull over, or shut everything out at work and just grab their Bible and just spend some time with you and read and study and love you, and or maybe just pray. Maybe they just need to have a conversation with you that's real, that just tell you the things that they're afraid of and tell you the things that they're scared about. Tell you the things that hurt them and tell you the pain in their life. Maybe they need to grieve over a loved one that died. Maybe they just need to talk to you about their marriage because they don't know how to be good husbands and their wives are struggling. God, I pray whatever it is, God, that these men would point themselves towards you. And Lord, that this podcast would be something that would point tons of men towards you. God, our desire isn't to become rich and famous or important. Our desire is to become faithful. And Lord, I pray that every single man that hears this podcast will become a faithful man of God. And when we get to heaven, you're going to say, son, Well done, thy good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys.
I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. We want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Make sure to tune in January 8th as we launch a new series titled The Promise Principle with Pastor Philip Hunter. Until then, have a blessed day.